Father, I just thank you and I give you praise and glory for this time, this opportunity that you have opened the door for me. I ask you to bless Pastor Marty, co-pastor, and I and Inez and her family. Father, bless them for the obedience, bless them for the faithfulness, bless them for the love for the people. And I thank you and I give you glory and honor for my life. I thank you for waking me up this morning to see another day, clothed in my right mind. Amen. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And Father, as this word come forth, open the eyes of the people, their spiritual eyes, and open up their spiritual ears to hear what thus said the Lord. Father, your word is truth and life, and it's peace and joy in a time of trouble. So, Father, help your people to stand and receive your word and take it into their hearts, not only in their mind, in their hearts, to know that you are a man not to lie. So I thank you and I give you glory and I give you honor and I take authority over every spirit that try to come in to hinder in the name of Jesus with oppositions, word curses, wicked prayers, everything that is not of you has to bow to the name of Jesus. And it's under the blood. The blood of Jesus cover everyone here and myself. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me nor these people is going to prosper, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I give you the glory, Father, for your word. I thank you that the anointing is going to destroy every yoke, every bondage. Your people shall be set free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And amen. How everyone is doing? You are? You are? Amen. We bless because God said we bless. It's not about what we have, what we don't have, or what we don't see. He said we bless, we are blessed. I thank the Lord for just leading me here. But before I got here, God showed me a dream. And I'm like, okay. And the dream was like he said, in and out, in and out. I'm like, okay, Lord, what is going on here? And I'll be at work and the Lord say, I want you to go to the house of manna tonight. I'm like, what? Okay. Try the spirit by the spirit. And I came and like, whoa. I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you doing? You know? So I kept coming and the Lord said, finally, that's where you belong. I'm like, okay. What I want to share with you all tonight, I have a couple of scriptures, but it's about we are prisoners of hope and discouragement. What do we do? What do we do of being prisoners of hope and discouragement? Some of us feel like we're in the pit. Hallelujah. But God, he the only one can get you out of it. And he sent this word to you tonight, Zechariah 9:9-10 verse. Okay. Let's turn there. And the next scriptures going to be Isaiah 40:1-2 and Isaiah 41:1-5. And then I have some at the ending. But let's start off with prisoners of hope. And everybody has Zechariah 9:9-10. Say amen. Few amen. Come on. Amen. Okay, verse 9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud. O daughter of Zion. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king comes to you. Jesus is our king and the Father. Having with him, he is uncompromising, just, and having salvation, triumphant victory, patient, meek, lowly, and riding on a donkey upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. That means victory and joy. Victory and joy is what God wants to give his people. We are in despair, depression, worrying, trying to figure out stuff on our own. The flesh profits us nothing, says the Bible. It's only by the Spirit of the living God. If we put aside flesh, then we will see the move of God. No, it's not going to be easy. Jesus left and he said it wasn't going to be easy. He told you it wasn't going to be easy. We don't believe it because we think if we save, everything's supposed to be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. There's going to be trials, suffering, persecution, and tribulation. That's what he said. That's what it's going to be. He is not a man alive. So he left the pattern for us to keep our joy. The devil is a lie. He's not taking no my joy. Oh, no. He didn't give it to me. He's not taking it. I don't care what goes, who don't go, who come and who don't come. I'm going to keep my joy. And I'm not standing up here telling you no lie. I'm going to keep my joy. Because I'm like David. I encourage my own self. I encourage my own self, honey. Me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Devil is a lie. Greater is he that sent me than with him. And I tell him straight, who are you talking to? I know you got to be. You done lost it. Because you know you're not going to make me do nothing. And you ain't going to put no thoughts in, no suggestion, because I cast them down in the name of Jesus. But if you sit there and entertain those thoughts, won't take authority over, he going to come with some more. Then you're going to get depressed, angry, bitter. And it's not the people, it's the devil. Take authority over him, because he the one bringing all that on you. But I refuse to take it myself. If I got to crawl, slide, whatever, I'm not going to take it. I'll tell him straight, I don't belong to you anymore. You had me, you should have kept me. But it's too late now. It's too late, brother. No. Because we have the word of in us. And if it's not God's words that you hear whispering in your ear and in your mind, come on, take authority over it. If you don't take authority over, he's going to take authority over you. So what are you going to do? Okay, continue. Verse 10. He said, I will cut off the exterminator, the war chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak the word, and peace shall come to the nation, and his dominion shall be from the Mediterranean Sea to the Sea of Ephraim. He's fighting for you, but you have to do something too. He left the word. W-O-R-D. He can't do nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, his only begotten son. The word, the blood, the anointing. What more could he do? He waiting on you. You waiting on me. He can't do no more, really. He can't do anymore. He done it all. What are you going to do? You don't have to take the devil's mess. You don't have to take his mess. Okay? Let's jump down to verse 12. Return to the stronghold of your security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Now, don't say hallelujah in here, and after you leave out the door, the devil attack you. You're like, oh, God, was that, now, was that true? God can't lie. We could, but he can't lie. So you either take it and run with it, or let him take it from you and put you back in depression. But I refuse to be in depression. I'm not lying. I refuse to be in depression. No. Mm-mm. Jesus ain't died for me to be depressed. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we have to speak those things over us. Make a confession over yourself every day. He wake you up every day to tell him how good he is, or how much you love him. He woke you up. And your right mind, your limbs working. What more do you want? What more? Take it and run. Don't worry about what you have or don't have. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Thank him. Be content with what you have today. He said, tomorrow take care of itself. You have enough problems. So why worry about tomorrow? It's enough today to try to think about and get out. Okay. As prisoners of hope, Zechariah 9:12 say, we must allow ourselves to be captured by and filled with hope. We must think hope. We must talk hope. What are we supposed to do? Think hope and talk hope, not talk doubt, discouragement. That's not what God wants to hear. And some of us wondering why he's not talking to us, because we're not talking to him, because he is the word. We talk to him. We got to talk to him with the word, not despair. We must think hope and we must talk hope. When your face is seemingly hopeless situation, remember that in God you are a prisoner of hope. There is no way to get away from that hope that is in him. He gave you hope. You have it in you. Use it. Don't look at your circumstance and your situation, because sometimes it don't look like nothing. But it is something because of God, because of Jesus. He give us that hope. We have to hold on to it. Okay, prisoners of hope. What is a prisoner of hope? It is someone who refused to stop hoping in God. Say it again. It is someone who refused to stop hoping in God. No matter how bad your circumstances are, it's in God. Godly hope is not the same quality as what the world calls hope. Okay? That's why we think in the world hope and try to think about what the world doing and what the world got. You better take your eyes off the world, honey. Because the world, if it don't get right with God, everything they got, they're going to lose it. But we have eternal life and hope. Amen? Usually when we hear people say they are hoping, something will or will not happen. They are hoping, but clearly doubting. The Bible says, a double-minded man can't receive nothing from him. We can't say with our mouth one thing, then we do something else in action. God said, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. But if we don't acknowledge him, we do what we want to do, he's just going to sit back and let you do it till you fall, cripple yourself, get up again. But I'd rather wait and let him renew my strength as I wait and cry out to him. We need to come back to on our face and crying out to God. That's what he's waiting on. He can do anything he want, but he's waiting on y'all to call out to him and cry out to him. You say you cry out to him and call upon him, and he will answer you. He ain't said cry out to him and say, God, gimme, 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 gimme. No. More of him and less of us. More of him and less of us. We need to say every day, Lord, help us to decrease so you can increase in us. If we want to go up higher with God, we have to decrease daily. Not on Wednesdays and Sundays. Daily. Daily, daily, daily. Because our enemy is right around the corner. So we have to die daily. I do like Paul. The Lord told me. Pause. Hold that. The Lord told me when I got saved to read the book of Paul. When I got saved, the Lord had me sitting on my sofa every morning. 7 o'clock I had to get up. I used to sleep 10, 30, 11 o'clock before I got saved. Then I had this Bible, I had that Bible, I had the dictionary, and he said, read the book on Paul. I started reading about Paul. Paul getting in jail, and he beating him up. I said, I'm not going to read that. I put the Bible down. He said, pick it up. I'm like, what? Pick it up? Well, what are you trying to tell me? All this going to happen to me? He didn't answer me because he knew I didn't understand. Okay. He's so faithful with us. He is so faithful. I'm like, okay. And I have been through some stuff with Paul, not the beating and in jail. Thank you, Jesus. But I have experienced some, and then I go back to him like, wow, this is what you was trying to tell me. Okay, I got it now. But anyway, just keep your hands in God's hands. No matter what's going on, he's still in control. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Didn't he say that? Well, believe it. Believe it. He's not a man to lie. We lies, but he don't. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake, no matter what situation we're in, what's going on around us. Don't worry about it. So when I got saved, all hell broke loose. All hell. All demons. All his little cohorts was after me. Big time. And I say, devil, you go ahead and do what you want, because I'm not turning around. I'm going forward. And I say, Lord, look. That's why I just talked to the Lord. You talk to the Lord? I say, yes, I do, because he already knows in my mind before I say it anyway. He already know. I say, now look, I'm saved. Okay. And I got a lot of work for you to do with me and on me. Okay. But one thing I ask you to do, whatever I have to go through, don't take my peace. And I could tell you standing up here right now, he kept his promise. No matter what I go through, I have peace. Sometimes I try to cry and the tears won't come out. I'm like, okay, Lord, you don't want me to cry. All right. You know, God is faithful. I'm telling you, he is faithful. I done tested. He is faithful. Yes, I tried it. I tested. He's faithful. Believe me, he's faithful. Okay, but we clearly doubt. We speak negative, complain about almost everything, and wonder why nothing worked out for us. Well, isn't that us sometimes? When I'm telling y'all this, I go through it, but I shake myself. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on, girl. I talk to myself. I say, hold on. This is not of God. Hold on. Now you come back to where you're supposed to be spiritually. I do. I talk to myself. If somebody pass by my house sometime and I'm in here by myself, they probably think I'm crazy. But I talk to myself. That's keep me going. True biblical hope is a solid foundation. And our solid foundation is Jesus. There's no other foundation but him. Everything else is shaky sand. Shaky sand. We could try, but it ain't going to work. You fall down, get up, you try it again. Fall down, get up, you try it again. Stop it. Stand on the foundation. Jesus. You know, God told me when you get down or feeling down and things coming against you, call out my name. I'll say, Jesus! And all of a sudden, something start to rise up here. I'm like, oh, holy, hold my meal here. Jesus! The devil leaves when you call Jesus. Yes. Yes, he does. He leaves. There's power in that name. So, when the devil come, call on Jesus' name. He gonna leave quickly. I'm not telling you he gonna come back. But that's why you have to have some word in you, because he gonna come back. He came back to Jesus. If he came back to the Son of God, who are we that he not gonna come back to? Who are we? Nothing but a piece of filthy rag. Duh. As you sit down and think about it, you realize, wait a minute, he did it to Jesus. Who am I? He gonna do it to me? So you have to realize, get up and fight. Get up and fight. We are in a battle daily. Not just on Wednesday night and Sunday. 24/7, these are the last days we in a battle. And you're going to have to learn how to fight, not with your words, with God's words.
Amen. That's right.
When I get up in the morning, before I get up, I'm in the bed.
Yes.
Lord, I lift my hands to you. Yes. No other help I know. If I remove my hands from you and you remove your hands from me, where will I go? What would I do? Amen. That's before I get out the bed, okay? With my eyes open, that's what I do every day, faithfully. And when I do that, the devil can't tell me nothing. Because I acknowledge God first, not them thoughts coming about, oh, I got to go do this. I got to do this. I got to pay this. How am I going to pay this? No, 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 no. I acknowledge God first. And I'm not leaving out my house until I read. I had a job. And then sometimes, person wouldn't come in, they'll call me. And we would like for you to come in because of such and such didn't come in. And can you make it? I say, yeah, but let me tell you one thing. I'm not coming right now because I have to read my Bible. Oh, no. We understand. That's okay. Don't let that devil know. No, I'm not going nowhere now until I read my Bible. No, I wasn't going until I read my Bible. And it revels that. It revels me to reveren the God in me. Because they know I put God before anything and anybody. Mother, children, sister, brother, whoever. I'm here now and they don't understand while I'm here. Say bye. See y'all. You going by yourself? I said, no, I'm not by myself. And I told y'all 3 times or 1,000 times I got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm not by myself. And they look at me like she a lost her mind. I said, I know y'all don't understand, but I gotta go. They always come in. When you're coming home, ask him, I don't know. I really don't. Ask him. He didn't tell me. If he tell me, I go. If you don't, I'm not going. I'll talk to y'all, but that's it. I'm staying in God's will. First time I got here, well, I came from California. I was doing some missionary work with 2 pastor ladies from Florida. And we stayed 2.5 months there. And the Lord sent me here to my son because his marriage was shaking. And I had to go in there and intercede. I was so tired the night I got here. And it was 12 o'clock. The Lord used to wake me up every night at 12. And I was so tired. And my eyes open. I'm like, oh, Lord, it's 12 o'clock. I said, I'm going to lay right here and pray, Lord. I'm tired. I said, in the name of Jesus. He said, Edwina! Honey, I roll out the bed. I was on the knee. On my knee. I just roll over and I was on my knee. I said, Lord, okay, I'm praying. I'm gonna pray. I'm not lying. He called my name loud. I straightened up and did what I had to do. God is good, y'all. I'm telling you. God is good. He is your friend. He loves you. He's concerned about everything that concerned you. You might not think now, but he does. He's concerned about everything that's concerned you. And he's going to answer, not when we want, when he want. But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just believe and hope and trust. All right? Okay. Let's see where I'm at here. It is a springboard for our faith to take off and actually take hold of the promises of God. That's all we have right now is the promises of God. We don't have nothing else. We don't have nobody we can go to and depend on because everybody got their own problems. Everybody got problems. Working, not working, you got problems. So we can't depend on nobody. We can depend on somebody saying, ask me to pray. Sure. But anything else? No. Because everybody got their own problems. Okay? I know this may sound simple, but I think we should really hope is a constant positive attitude. Not negative. Positive. What kind of attitude?
Positive.
What kind of attitude?
Positive.
Thank you. That no matter what is happening currently, things will change for the better if you hold on. I told her, I'm not going around this mountain no more. I don't care what you say because I know God going to come through. I'm going to pass this test and I'm going around this mountain without any hesitation. Is it easy? No. But you got to push yourself. You got to make yourself reach. You got to make yourself pray. Because when you get ready to pray, he's going to tell you, you know you got to go do this. Or the phone going to ring. And you know you know you had to do this. You had to call this person. Every little thought going to come. But you have to fight and stop and realize it's the enemy. He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to read the word. Because he know if you read the word, you're going to get the word in you. And that's what he try to keep out of you.
Yes, that's right.
But it's the word going to bring us through sin. I try it every day and it works. It works. Yes, every day, brother. And it works. Like yesterday, I cooked some spinach and mustard together and this lady from Mississippi showed me how when it's almost done, take a little okra, put on top. And I was cooking, and it's a whole different taste. It sounds terrible, but it's a whole different taste. And I said, oh, Lord. I wasn't afraid of that, because sometimes I push stuff back, and I don't know it's in there. I said, oh, I thought I had some okra. I said, Lord, I would like to have some okra. And I know I just went in my purse, and I didn't have no money. I did not have no money, okay? I had some change. And that was about, what, 75 or 80 cent change. And then I kept, I saw a dollar. I'm like, well, where did this come from? I said, Lord, this got to be you. Now I'm going to HB and I'm getting my okras. And I went and got my okras and I cook them. I thank God for the dollar because I got my okras. I'm telling you, I'm a fool for the Lord. I am, honey. I am a fool for God. And I'm a still fool. I get crazier and crazier every day. Because I know who he really are and what he can do.
Yes.
And when you get that into you, honey, you'll be a fool and crazy too. You'll be a lost your last little mind. For Jesus. Okay. Okay. No matter what is happening currently, things will change for the better. Satan cannot defeat a person who refuses to stop hoping in God. I'm going to say that again. Satan cannot defeat a person who refuses to stop hoping in God. He can't stop you. He cannot stop you, saints. I'm telling you. Take it from a living witness. He can't stop. I came here, and I ain't going to be here. I want to stay in Houston because I love Houston. I still love Houston. I don't know why. It's something that God has. But anyway, I went home. First time, then I had to come back. See, then my son, when I got back here, oh, Lord, it was just like a storm fighting his wife and carrying on. And my heart started hurting. He went to work. I went to sit on the porch. I said, Lord, look, I am leaving. This boy not going to give me no heart attack. I'm sorry. But I'm gone. And I called the bus and I went. Okay. Nothing was happening for me. Nothing. Not one thing. I went to this church one Sunday and the pastor was walking around. He said, some of you all here You're like Abraham. And my heart started poop, poop, poop. He said, God trying to get you from around your family. And then nothing happened. When he said that, I was like, whoop, whoop. I'm like, oh my God, this is me. So I went home. He said, okay, Lord, we got to talk. I said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you want me to go back to San Antonio? You give me the money. Less than 1 week. When you ask God for something and it's in his will, you better be careful. I got more than enough. I was on the first thing smoking. And let me tell you. Honey, I had a ballot in here. The bus broke down. I had to sleep the bus all night. I told him, I said, devil, I don't care what you're doing. I'm going. If I got to walk or hitchhike, I'm going back to San Antonio. Okay? He broke the bus down. Keep me from getting here. I made it, thank God. Oh my God. It opens up the door for impossible to become possible. All things are possible with God, but we must cooperate with him by being hopeful and full of faith and joy. All of it goes together. You can't have one and don't have the other, because you're not going to be fully in joy or fully in faith. It all goes together. And if you don't have it, just ask God. He'll give it to you. He said, ask. You have not because you ask not. We asking for things, but we're not asking for the spiritual things. Things ain't going to do nothing for us, because we're going to die and leave it. Somebody going to be fussing and fighting over it. That's exactly what's going to happen. So why worry about it? I don't worry about it. God just give it to me. And then if I don't want it no more, I give it away. And if I'm God, and if I have to go and he tell me to go, I put it in a dumpster. Oh, I done throw away a lot of stuff in the dumpster. Sure told me, say, Wena, why didn't you call me? Tell me. I said, I didn't have time. I had to go. I had time to wait for no packing for nobody, waiting on nobody. I told you I'm moving and you didn't come. Everything in the dumpster. Dishes and everything. I said, well, he gave it to me one time. He gave it to me again. I ain't got time for all this. I got to go. I got to go. You know? And that's why now I'll try to limit myself, because I like clothes. I like shoes. I like purses. And he put that in me, but he made it. But there's a limit. And sometimes I go over the limit. I really go over the limit. I looked at my closet. I'm like, gee, Chihuahua, Lord. I'm sorry. So I'm giving away. And what I don't want, I'm throwing away. Because I ain't going to give nobody nothing I don't want. Because I forget, if I don't want it, they don't want it either. I'm not going to make up my garbage can. Okay? If I don't want it, I'm throwing it away. But we like that, because that's the human part of us. And God understands. He just takes it away. I remember when I was going to California. Oh, Lord, I tried to pack everything I had. I'm serious. I had a suitcase, nothing but sandals. Every color I wore, I had sandals. And I was giving away some stuff. I gave away the sandals. So I got in California. I'm like, oh, no, Lord. I had one pair of black high heels. I gave away everything. What the Lord made me give away, I knew it was God. I said, Lord, I'm tired of wearing these same black shoes every Sunday to church. He just let me fuss. He didn't give me no more black shoes. Does black go with anything? So he said, you wear them or you don't go. I'm like, okay, I know you're trying to tell me something. Just help me here. God promised that he will restore double for what we have lost and has stolen if we stay hopeful. It does no good at all to be hopeless. It's only make us unhappy, critical, and grumpy. Critical and grumpy. Yes. We mad with the whole world. Yes, anybody say, what? No. You want to go ahead? No. I don't feel like it. You take that on everybody else, and you made your own self like that. So hopelessness leads to depression and many other problems. Become a prisoner of hope. Be the kind of person who absolutely refuses to be negative, and get ready to receive double blessing for your former trouble. Get ready. Okay. Now let's go to Psalms 40, 1 and 2. I may not be able to finish all these scriptures. I got about five, but that's okay. You're going to get the point. Psalm 40, 1 and 2. And everybody get to say amen. I waited patiently and in expectation for the Lord. What David say he did? He waited what? And what? If you don't expect that, you ain't getting nothing. You have to expect something. And he inclined me and heard my cry. He waited on us. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of torment and destruction, out of the miry clay and slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadied my steps and established my going. When the Bible speaks of a pit, as if it does in 40, I always think of the depth of depression. The psalmist David often spoke of feeling as though he was going down into a pit and calling out to the Lord to rescue him and set his feet on a solid, level ground. If we call out on him, he'll help us. He'll help us. He know what we're going through, but he wants us to verbalize it to him and call out to him and cry out to him. I cry enough for all of y'all sitting in here. I'm always crying. Because when I got saved, I didn't know what I asked for. But I told Lord, I won't be like Jeremiah. Yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen. So I was in this church, and I got saved with a white friend of mine. And she was going through something with her father. And I was at the altar. I was waking the altar with the pastors. I don't know, just all of a sudden, God just pushed me out there. You know, first I was doing the back as an usher. I was cleaning the church for you, then the usher. They asked me to sing. That's another one. to do the altar. And she was just a crying. I laid my hand on her. I said, Lord, take that away from her. Give it to me because I think I can handle it. Honey, I went home, sat on the bed, started crying, and couldn't stop. I was like, and so when the spirit finished, the phone rang, that was her. She said, what you doing? I said, I just prayed for you, and I was crying, couldn't stop. I said, I asked the Lord to give me your boy. She said, did you know what you asked for? I said, well, no, not at first, but I know now. That was an experience. I could not stop crying. I was just, I couldn't hardly catch my breath. I was crying from the depth of my spirit. But I did it for her, and I don't regret it, because right now I do it anyway for a group of people, so it don't make no difference anyway. That's my calling, intercessors. And nobody's intercessor is not going to cry. If you're intercessor, you don't ever cry. Something wrong. Something is wrong. Tears come from being an intercessor. Now, you say you're intercessor, and I don't ever see you cry. Something wrong. Something is actually wrong. That's all I got to say. Okay, the Bible speaks of a pit as it was in Psalm 40. I always think of the depth of depression. Like David, nobody wants to be in the pit of depression. No one. We don't want to be there. But sometimes we put our own self there. We put our own self there. And when you get like that, you have to realize, wait a minute. Jesus didn't get whipped. Blood come from his head, side, and water. For me to be depressed. He took that on him. If we just think about what he went through for us, we'll shake ourselves and say, wait a minute, devil. Because it's the devil. It's not nothing going around that bad that we got to lose our joy and peace. I mean, that's your health joy and peace, laughter, that's help to your soul and your spirit. And the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. But we let him do it. We let him do it. So shake yourself. And that's a terrible place to be. That's awful. That's an awful feeling. When God taught me about all of this, I'm like, whoa. And ever since then, I shakes it all. Yeah, it's going to come because life sometimes throws you some balls. It throws you some balls. And it'll never be peach and cream all the time. Most of the time, it's worse than peaches and cream. But but through it all, he helps us, okay? I cannot think of the worst place to be when we're deeply depressed. We feel bad enough as it is. Then the devil comes along to add misery by bringing thoughts of negative and imagination. You imagine all kind of stuff. Stuff that God didn't put in your mind, the devil put there. And you try to tell you, try this, do this, do this, try to go here, do this. And we're running like little puppets. Nothing ain't happening. Nothing ain't happening at all. Because if it's not him, it's not going to happen. And if he don't let it happen, take it with joy. Because he see the future. He know what we need, know what we want, when we want it, when we need it. Yeah, we think we need this, and why don't God do it? Why don't God do it? I mean, that's not going to make God move. He move when he wants to move. So just be encouraged knowing that God got it. Whatever you're going through, God got it. And I tell him that, God, you got this. You got it. Now I'm going to bed, and I'm going to sleep. You got it. And I rest sleepful. I rest peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. Yeah, so I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. And devil, you're not going to torment me. I remember one time I couldn't sleep. And I said, wait a minute, get my aura. I gnawed the four corners of my bed, my pillow. And I told him what he wasn't going to do, him and his imps and coals. You're not going to take my rest in peace. I don't think so. That's the way I talk to him. If he's going to talk to me, I'm going to tell him what he's not going to do, what Jesus said I have. He said he'd give his people perfect rest and sleep and peace. And I takes it. And I go to sleep. Now, when he wake me up, it's for the prayer, it's another different thing. But he's not going to keep me awake and tell me all kind of old dumb things. And I'm going to sit there and think about it. I don't think. But that's all it is. It's stupid stuff he tells you. It's nothing for your benefit. Nothing at all. Okay, let's go to Psalm 42. Everybody has it? Oh, and let's see. I want to read another one in the... Let's go to the... You have it? Okay. One says... As the heart panic and longs for the water brook, so I pant and long for you, O God. That's what we have to do. Long for God in a time of adversity, depressions, and whatever the devil is telling us to do. Okay? Okay, verse 5. I'm going to read it and I'm going to elaborate on it. We see the sons of Korah struggling with depression. I would like us to examine how they handle their situation, because it shows us what to do when we are feeling depressed. As we dissect this verse, we see three definite responses the son of Korah gave to their depression feeling. First, they put a question to their own soul and asked themselves, why are you so downcast? God is asking you, why are you so downcast? Why? Oh, my inner man, and why should you mourn over me and be disquieted within me? That's verse 5. Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God. We have to do that, since there's no other way out. If you want to have joy and peace, like Pastor said, you're going to have to do all this, I'm telling you. Anyway, It wait. I'm not standing up here just saying it wait. It wait, but you have to put the weight to the weight. It's not gonna wait by itself. Okay. Okay. How to deal with discouragement? Verse 42, 45. The psalmist is discouraged. Discouragement destroys hope. So naturally, the devil always tries to discourage us. Without hope, we give up, which is exactly what the devil wants us to do. That's what he's trying to do. God says, these last days, if you don't shorten it for the very elect sake, we won't make it. We won't make it. So it ain't going to get no better. You can sit there and say, you know, it's going to get better. Things going to be, I mean, God's going to give us a little grace and mercy. But we're going through tests, trial, purification, sanctification, and all this stuff, chastisement. All this we're going through because Jesus is coming back, and we have to be a bride ready. Yeah. We can't get ready. We have to be ready. And this is an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing. If you want to go back up there, you got to be ready. He left the Bible for us, basic instruction before leaving the earth. That's our instruction. You run in here like pastors looking for a word. What they going to tell me? Oh, what they going to tell me? Get your Bible and open it up. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you. You want a word? Open the word. It's right here. I get all my instruction from right here. Now, he confirmed it just like today. This morning I got up and got all of this. And I got this strong urge to turn on Joyce Meyer. I'm like, turn on Joy Ma. I'm trying to study and go over this here. Turn on Joy Ma. I said, okay. I'm going to turn on Joy Ma. The same thing she was talking on, hope. Discouragement. So you want a word? Open this. You get a word. A good one. One that won't fail you. One that won't fail you. But we run here and there to everybody else trying to find out what they say. Who are they? The Bible said, what is man? Who is man? Nothing. They can miss it. Just like you might be missing it and think you can get something from somebody else. Get in the word and you get exactly what you want. Okay? Okay, Hebrews 10, 35, 36. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to just read it. It says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he promised. How do you persevere? In prayer? Fasting? Fasting? Fasting. The Bible says some things only come through fasting and prayer. So if something not happening for you all, fast. And it don't have to be food. Read Isaiah 58. It don't say anything about no food. That's the kind of fast God called. Now, he may tell you to fast off food because maybe he's trying to stop you from eating or whatever. He's trying to slow you down. But a fast is a sacrifice. Okay? It comes through prayer, fasting, and patience as you wait on God. Okay? Isaiah 41:4, waiting on God to help us is not easy. But David received 4 benefits from waiting. 1, God lift him out of his despair. 2, he set his feet on a rock. 3, he gave him a foreign place to stand. 4, he put a new song of praise in his mouth. Often, blessing cannot be received unless we go through trials of waiting. Who want to wait? Nobody. I don't want to wait either. But I don't have a choice. And I'd rather wait than be tormented. You're trying to figure it out, wait it out. No, I'm going to wait. That's why when Minister Oscar asked, who want a husband? I ain't raised my hand. You know why? Because God got to wait on me before he give me a husband. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to ask for nothing and God going to put me with somebody going to just make me miserable to bring what's out in me. So I'd rather wait. I'd rather wait. If they wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. And he does, he renew my strength. Because when I finish doing what I need to do for God, I'm too tired anyway for a husband. Because all I want to do is go to bed. I'm serious. God had me doing stuff all the time. So he keeps me busy. And I told him when I got a Christian, I don't want to be no bold Christian. You keep me doing things in you. Okay, because I've done it the other way. Things in you. Every day somebody would call me, we going here, we going there. You want to come? Yeah. By the time I get home, I was knocked out. I was so tired. But it was a good time because I did things in God. So a lot of people tell me, oh, Christians are bored. No, you bored. Because you're not doing nothing for God. If you're not doing nothing for God, you're going to be bored. Because if he call you, you have things to do. He ain't call you to go play. Go take a trip. When he didn't tell you to take a trip. Then you're miserable. On the trip that you made for yourself. I'm serious. I'm sick. Oh, Pastor, I have to share this with you. I'm going to close right here, y'all, but y'all. You remember when you said you had like a burning, a heart burning? Honey, that ain't nothing compared to what I had. When I first got saved, God was dealing with me in the pit of my neighbor every night, all day. Burning. He kept giving me the scripture about burning with fire, but I didn't understand because I was, you know. I mean, why you keep giving me that? Oh, my goodness. In a wee hour, it was worse. I mean, like fire was literally coming out. I went to a Walmart, CVS, grocery stores, bought all kind of an acid. Nothing worked. I bought everything they say would take away the burning, like acid and gas or whatever. I spent so much money and nothing worked. Nothing worked. The burning got worse. So that Sunday I went to church and I went up for prayer. Then I went and sat back down. And my pastor called me and said, "Sister, will you come back up here?" I'm like, "Oh, Lord, now." So I went back up there. He said, "The Lord said that burning that you feel, he's burning things up." I'm looking at him like, "What? I spent all this money and you just not telling me?" Well, Lord, why didn't you tell me? I probably wouldn't have paid no attention to him anyway, because he was telling me in the word, but burning with fire. Every time I tried to talk to me, bloop, I'm like, burning with fire? What you mean with fire? It was me. God has a sense of humor. He is good. But when you said that day, I'm like, oh my God, I could tell him what it is. I had it. And it didn't feel good. I couldn't sleep at night. I would just suck this and suck that and think that nothing happened. But this is a word that God just wanted to encourage you all. And don't take it for granted. Use it. Because it works. I have to try every day. Not one day, every day. Because the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy our joy and peace. And trying to turn us away from God. You've been praying all this time. He tell you nothing happened. You can go do this. You can go do that. No, you can't do nothing. Because if you are chosen and called, honey, you better be still and wait on God. Because if you don't, you're going to be sorry. You think you're in trouble now. You're going to be most sorry. So I'm going to wait and wait and wait and wait. And if he don't do it, I'm still going to serve him. I'm not turning back. I made up my mind when I received Jesus in my pregnancy. I'm not turning back. I don't care what comes. And what goes. And who goes and who goes. And don't make me no different. Because I'm not alone. I know who I serve. And I know whose I am. I am his. And he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care. And he's going to do the same for you all. So don't give up. Trust him. And believe. You know, and cry out to him. Just cry out to him. He's waiting for you to cry out to him. He's not waiting for you to complain. He's not waiting for that. He don't want to hear that. He don't want to hear. I remember one time I was supposed to be going to church with someone back home, and he came to pick me up. And I got all dressed and ready. I asked God, can I go? Okay, I got all dressed and ready. I got to the car, put my hand on the door. He said, stay home. I'm like, And I backed up. I said, well, I can't go.
Why?
I said, because God told me to stay home. God didn't tell you. I said, well, you must be able to pull off because I'm going in my house. You don't tell me what I didn't hear. Not because he didn't tell you. That means he didn't tell me. Amen. And I stayed home. It was something that he wanted me to stay home and pray for. What's going on in the church. But don't be a person like that. If God telling you something, not telling that person something, don't say it's not God. That ain't God. You don't know. Who are you to say it's not God? But we got that. If we want to do something, want somebody to do something with it, that ain't God. Ain't. Well, honey, you say what you want to say. I'm going in my house, and I went in my house and prayed. And I found out why he didn't want me to go. God will keep you out of mess if you want to be out of mess. He'll keep you out of mess, honey. And you know I don't want to be in a mess because I'm a quiet person. I don't like mess. I don't like mess. I don't. That's why I'm here. And that's why he took me from my family because they're all out there. All. Soon as I call, I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. Then they're going to ask me, they're going to give me all the problems. Oh, what's going on back there? When you coming? What? I don't know. Don't want to go. I just pray for y'all. He sent me there 2 times. The last time he sent me there, he said, go get them out of Egypt. Lord, they ain't going to listen to me. Don't listen to you. He said, go. I went to my sister. I tell you all the truth. I didn't leave out my sister's house. He sent all of them there. 21 of them got saved. I didn't have to go look for nobody. Go nowhere. He sent them. And my sister said, hey, we know. This is strange. I'm like, what's strange? She said, they don't usually come to my house like that. I say, it's God. She said, I know it's God. He sent them all there, 1 by 1, 2 by 2. So I did what I had to do. I'm not going back in their little mess. If they want to stay in their little mess, stay with it. But we're probably going to have peace. I have peace and nobody going to take it. Amen. God bless you all.